Joe, after Sunday night with that deadline and all that craziness of Mark D'Antonio's mild heart attack, it must have been a very long night for you.
Well, I'm sure it was a longer night for a lot of other people, you know. But, yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy weekend at Michigan State. You know, just the game itself was unbelievable, and I think probably one of the more memorable finishes in the history of that series, and I think in Michigan State history overall as well. And then to find out the next morning that, you know, Mark D'Antonio had just had an emergency procedure and a mild heart attack. I mean, it's just so much stuff all at once, and probably so many emotions for the Michigan State people.
Joe, I was on the field, and it was kind of ironic. I was standing next to Kirk Gibson and Steve Eiserman when Charles Rogers caught a touchdown pass in the back of the end zone in a game against Notre Dame. And then a few seconds later, MSU blew the game on a touchdown pass. Have you seen a bigger play in your tenure with the Journal than that play with the fake field goal? And what was going through your mind as they lined up for that field goal?
Yeah, I can't think of a play that can, a call or a play that I've seen that can match this. And, you know, I kind of describe it this way. You know, the press box typically is, you know, pretty calm and reserved no matter what happens. I remember last year, you know, another game-winning overtime play, of course, was Larry Capers' touchdown run against Michigan. I mean, you could throw that into the mix of memorable plays.
Yeah, and media box press etiquette, basically it's unwritten that you don't cheer for either side, right?
Yeah, right. And that's usually followed pretty well. But, you know, when Caper happened last year, I mean, there was some gasps and people say, oh, wow, you know, what a play. But when this play happened, there were a lot of people still in the press box because really most of the writers had to be in there to still trying to make sense of everything and get their stories, you know, revised and finished. But, I mean, it was loud and it wasn't cheering, but it was just like, oh, my gosh, what is going on, you know? And that kind of, I mean, you know, I'm sitting there watching it and I think like everyone, that at first you didn't know what was going on and all of a sudden, Aaron Bates is just sort of standing there with the ball, you know. I mean, it wasn't bang, bang. He stood there, waited, let Charlie Gant break free. And then by the time he broke free, he kind of realized what was going on. And, you know, when it all kind of sunk in, I mean, just what an incredible play, finish, and you know, what a call from Mark D'Antonio.
And, Joe, from thinking about the heart attack situation, which we're going to get an update from you on that, a lot of the writers were up in the press box trying to finish off their stories because you folks were under enormous pressure, TV, radio, and print, to get their stories out because press is running very late. So a lot of journalists had sent down assistants or other people while everyone else was in the press box.
Yeah, I mean, I know fans like night games, but let me tell you, writers hate night games. not just writers, like you said, everyone. It's a crunch, but I mean, it's very tough for us to, you know, especially when you're talking about such a great game and the story changes minute by minute, you know. It looked like Michigan State maybe was going to win at the end of regulation on Brian Kelly, that fourth down gamble that didn't pay off. And it looked like Notre Dame was going to win when Michigan State went backwards in its own end. Kirk Cousins took that really bad penalty late. So you're constantly kind of, changing everything and you're trying to keep track of everything. And it's very nerve-wracking.
So from what you know.
Fun all the same.
So from what you know, what is the most up-to-date current status for Coach D'Antonio, who's been resting in Sparrow Hospital after having a stent placed in his heart and a procedure late Sunday morning?
Yeah, from what I understand, comfortable and feeling good. And, you know, I don't know exactly when he's going to be home. And, you know, I certainly don't know when he'll be back at work, but everything seems very positive in terms of his recovery and the way he's feeling now. I mean, you know, this is a scary thing, and it's never good at all to have a heart attack, obviously, but, you know, the fact that they got him quickly to the hospital, they located this blockage, they fixed it, you know, it's huge. I mean, if it wasn't identified now, you know, down the road, it could have been a bigger heart attack and actually a real threat to his life, so you know, now they kind of know what the deal is, and I would expect him to be able to, you know, to coach to coach a long time from here. You know, some people have written about it, and certainly everyone knows Bo Schembechler, you know, had a heart attack before his first Rose Bowl at age 40, and of course he lived another 37 years and he coached another 20 years.
Well, we don't know when he's coming home, but it's not going to be he's not going to be on the sidelines in the next week or two.
Well, we know for sure he won't coach Saturday, and he won't be a part of anything this week. It's just recovery. And then, you know, it seems to me like it would be kind of quick for him to come back next week, but I also have to, I'm sure for him, once he's home and feeling better, I'm sure it's going to be tough for him to accept not being at work, you know, and that's going to be interesting to see when it actually happens. I mean, the next 2 weeks are huge. You know, it's Wisconsin for the Big Ten opener, and then they go to Ann Arbor to play Michigan. I mean, the first 2 weeks of Big Ten season are going to be so critical for Michigan State and what they do this year. So I'm sure he'll be pushing to get right back out there, but obviously this is going to be a decision made by the doctors.
Joe, I got a minute left. Perhaps Coach D'Antonio's biggest victory, but the next could be said about this next Wisconsin game and Michigan game. Michigan State currently ranked 23rd in the poll. Should they win these next two games, that would be tremendous for the program.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think if – you know, if they were able to win the first two Big Ten games, then you'd have to say they're absolutely a contender to win the championship this year. Now, still, you know, with games at Iowa and at Penn State and at Northwestern, I mean, but by no means would it be clear sailing, but they'd be in good shape. And I agree with you. I think that was he's coming off his biggest win and I think his biggest moment as a head coach.
And I've got about 20 seconds, Joe. In a nutshell, tell us about Coach Treadwell, who has taken over the top spot for the Spartans.
Yeah, you know, Don Treadwell has been a candidate for head coaching jobs in the past. I think he will be a head coach coming up, and this is a good opportunity for him. You know, he and D'Antonio go back to 1986 at Youngstown State. Of course, D'Antonio is godfather to his son, Blake Treadwell. They're very close, and, you know, he's coordinated a good offense here, and so this is a good opportunity for him, and I'm sure things will run well under him while D'Antonio's out.
Joe, thanks so much. I'll see you at this afternoon's press conference. Appreciate your time.
Okay, Tony. See you there.